On today's episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, I recap the recent football game against Vanderbilt, review the results of my six-pack of picks, and give a quick look into the week ahead. Okay, here we go. Welcome to episode 12 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I'm your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode between 1801 to 2001. And, is everyone okay out there? Are we doing all right? Is everyone's heart okay? I mean, I sure as shit, I felt like I needed to use my Apple Watch, the ECG function or whatever the hell that is, because the cardiac cocks have struck again with an absolute thriller, stressor, heart palpitator win on Saturday night for the homecoming victory. Now look, obviously that was way too close for comfort, and nobody will say that we played our best, but hey, a win is a win is a win, and I will always celebrate wins, no matter if it's 1 point, 100 points against Vandy, against Bama. I will celebrate these W's. Now, I mentioned it on Friday's show that you got to do that, just win, because no matter how you slice it, folks, this team is 4-3. And what we saw Saturday, it really is why sports are so great, right? Things happened. The game ended up going like it did. It wasn't how we planned, but the Gamecocks, they hung in there. They didn't give up, and they ended up with a victory. Also, I'm going to apologize right now if my voice is a little raspy because of the Gamecocks. But even when all hope felt like it was gone in that game, right, we all continued to watch, and that is exactly why you do that, because it ain't over until the fat lady sings, and she is singing now, and she is singing for the Gamecocks. But it was a weird game because I honestly felt like it was just a matter of time before we would score again. Like, even when it was 10-14, I was kind of relaxed, and before you knew it, Vandy took the lead, and then it was like, oh my God, like, are we about to lose? And frankly speaking, you know, I felt that really in most of the game. Like, we deserved to lose, and I never say that as a fan, but we took a full clip and we pointed the gun and just unloaded it right into our foot. We kept beating ourselves with turnovers, stupid penalties that by the time the fourth quarter rolled around, we didn't have an ounce of momentum going our way. But somehow Zeb, big old Zeb, came to the rescue, and the rest is history. So before I jump into the specifics of what I like and didn't like from each side of the ball, let me talk about some general themes and takeaways that I have from the game. But, you know, before that game even started, we had drama. Juju McDowell, he's suspended. Apparently it's some team violation. He'll be back next week. I don't think it's too serious, but Jalen Brooks, he had a personal matter. He wasn't at the game. Dylan Wanham was a late scratch because of a back. So just from the start, we had adversity. Maybe the nerves were going a little bit more, but once the game started, I mean, were we trying to win? I mean, I just mentioned it, but we really did everything you could do to help the other team in a football game. Again, penalties are just brutal. It felt like any time we had a decent drive going or we made a big play, there was a flag on the field, and it was just infuriating because it killed any chance we had to gain momentum. And not just the penalties, but turnovers too. I mean, anytime you give up the ball, it's going to hurt you. But we did it multiple times and at some of the worst moments. I mean, you had Luke throwing picks, Jaheim Bell with the fumble, and the Marshawn Lloyd fumble too. It was just crazy because all of them came when we needed points or had a good drive going, and it was just really tough to watch. But at first glance, you'll look at the box score and see that we didn't score in the second or third quarter. But when you remember all of the turnovers, I feel like we could have and should have ended up scoring more. But again, we were beating ourselves and kept giving Vanderbilt the ball back and giving them chance after chance. And thank goodness that Vandy stinks, because probably any other team on our schedule other than EIU would have absolutely taken more of an advantage from our turnovers. So we were lucky in that regard. But hurting ourselves was not limited to just the players making mistakes. There were a couple of bad coaching moments as well, but one in particular stands out that I'm going to break down right now, and it was that Beamer's decision to once again not use Parker White well within his range. So to set the stage again, because we just love doing this to ourselves, it was the second quarter, about 6 minutes left. We were on the Vanderbilt 14-yard line. Carolina was up 14-3. It was about 4th and 4, and for whatever reason, Shane Beamer decided to go for it, and we got stopped. And it's just crazy that, once again, we have to talk about this, but here we are. I just don't get it. Our offense has been below average at best. So anytime we are in a position to get points, we should take the points. Parker White is one of the best kickers in the country, and by not using him, you hurt the team. Now, we did stop Vandy when they took over. We ended up giving them the ball back to them, and they scored right before the half. And it felt like from that moment where we decided to not kick and get stopped, that the momentum shifted to Vanderbilt for basically the rest of the game. Oh, wait a second. And also, the play call was just horrendous. We threw the ball to the line of scrimmage on an out route. We had 4 yards to gain. If you're gonna go for it there, throw it to the sticks. It's just crazy. I mean, I don't care what the analytics say there or how you feel that, you know, maybe they thought that we were bullying Vanderbilt. We had the momentum. Everything was on our side. Like, that's a scenario where you can get points and you can put Vanderbilt in a pretty sizable hole. I just really hope that Beamer can learn that it's okay to settle for 3 points, especially in these must-win games, especially when you're winning. We were winning the ball game. You build the lead. It wasn't like we were trying to come back or trying to put the game away. It was the second quarter. Take the points. But on the flip side of that, I have to give a ton of credit to Shane Beamer for having the guts to put Zebin at quarterback for that last drive, right? It would have been really easy. Stick to the starting quarterback, stick to Luke, hope for some success, or maybe go back to looks from earlier in the game that have worked. But Beamer knew the moment. He knew that his team needed a spark. Maybe he had a feeling that Luke was forcing it. They needed a more of a steady hand. But to have that call, it takes guts. I mean, Zeb hadn't thrown a ball in a game for like over a month, and he comes in with that steady hand and got the job done. I mean, his timing with his drops and the receivers, it looked awesome. The team really seemed to rally around him. And then how about that throw to Xavier Leggett for the win? The X-Man, put your X's up. He hadn't been talked about all season, but comes up with arguably the biggest catch of South Carolina season. It was just incredible. It's going to be interesting, though, to watch how this quarterback situation develops throughout the next week. I'm sure you're going to have people that say maybe Zeb should start the next game or multiple games. And then you're going to have people who think that it should go back to Luke. Some people might say maybe Luke could be the guy, but he's just not ready. Maybe he's still banged up. I don't really know what to make of it, right? I mean, Luke seemed okay to start the game, but really after that first quarter, man, I mean, he didn't look great. But do you make a quarterback change going into a hostile environment like A&M just based off of one great drive against Vandy, where they were in a prevent for most of it, allowing us to get the yards a little bit? I mean, I don't know. I'm not sure. I honestly don't know where I land on it all, but it's going to be certainly very interesting to watch how this develops throughout the week. And I'm glad I don't have to make that decision. That's why they pay you the big bucks, Shane. Make it work. So with all that being said, I'm going to dive into what I like from the different phases of the team. I'll share my results of the six-pack, and then we'll wrap this bad boy up. So on the defense, what I liked, back to creating turnovers, baby. I mean, it was awesome to see Jordan Strawn with that big play. Also, shout out Mike Peterson. Coach Mike P sprinting down the sideline with him. Love to see that. My dude looked quick. He could suit up for us. I don't know if he's eligible, though, but the huge sack fumble to seal things at the end as well. J.J. Anagbari just getting after it. And I liked that the defense, they largely did clamp down in the fourth quarter. Only allowed 3 points. They gave up a touchdown in both the second and the third quarter. So it was nice to have them lock Vandy down and at least keep us in the game. They seemed to adjust pretty well to that last-minute change in quarterback. Obviously, Vandy's starter, Ken Seals, I guess he was hurt. They said his hand was banged up. I don't know exactly what it was, but they had this guy come in. I don't remember his name, but he's their backup. But he looked pretty athletic. I think Seals is more of a pocket passer. This guy seemed to be a little quick on his feet, but the defense did seem to contain him pretty well. What I didn't like was you gave up that huge touchdown catch and run in the third, and that was a pretty bad look. It looked to be a result of some poor tackling, and you know that was the score where Vanderbilt took the lead. We really needed our defense to stand up there, and they were just not able to. Also, in the first half, Vandy, they seemed to be able to get on our side of the field frequently. I was hoping to see the defense really be able to impose their will more against Vanderbilt, and I just felt like they were getting moved around a little bit. More so in that first half, it's just something I felt like Vanderbilt's on our side again, and they were able to convert a couple big third downs, so I didn't like to see that. But overall, I'd say it was a solid day for the defense. Again, they stepped up when we needed it the most, and especially at that very end with that sack fumble. So, good day for the defense. Now on the offense, what did I like? We won the game, baby. Just win. I mean, the Zeb drive was incredible to watch. It was so clutch, and it was just great to get the W. So, I mean, you won the game on offense, so I like that. But I also really, really like Jaheim Bell. I mean, what an absolute monster. I know Satterfield, he acknowledged his skill set recently, but he is really an X factor, and he's a nightmare matchup for these guys, and we need to get him the ball whenever possible. I know he had that bad turnover, but hey, he is a monster. He showed it on Saturday. Keep giving him the ball. Ring the bell, because he's going to score. Also, shout out to my man, Zaquandre White. Z White, was nice to see him get in there, have a nice game, really. I mean, he's a gamer, and hopefully he can be incorporated more. It's kind of that embarrassment of riches, or whatever that saying is, with the running backs. It's felt like he has not benefited from that, but the way he's able to catch the ball out of the backfield is phenomenal. I mean, he had that one, it was earlier in the game, and I looked around and I was like, who the hell is that? And then it all clicked that it was Z White. I'm like, oh my God, hell yeah, let's get him the ball more. I did like that we were able to start fast. We put up 2 quick scores. Obviously, it didn't keep going, but it was nice to see us get the ball, score, get the ball again, score, nice long drives. And that was something that I mentioned as a crow to the game going into this, so it was nice to see. Now, what I didn't like, as I mentioned earlier, y'all, just the turnovers were just brutal. I mean, you can't put the ball down in those big spots, right? Lou clearly did not have his best day overall. He threw a couple of picks, but he just seemed off when we needed him and when we were trying to come from behind. He just seemed off. So I don't really know what was going on there. But and then once again, the offensive line was disappointing. One play that stands out, honestly, was it was the end of the first half. The Vanderbilt defender, he just came completely free, untouched, and sacked Luke. That just can't happen. Like, you shouldn't have blitzers coming completely free like that, and it was just a bad way to end that half. And at this point in the season, I don't know how much that group can really improve, honestly. But you got to find ways to step up a little bit, right? I mean, you're not going to overhaul stuff. As an experienced group, I really don't know what it is. Luckily, that bye week is coming up. I don't know. You could talk about it then. But and while I do understand, as I mentioned earlier, that turnovers did contribute to us not scoring in the middle of the game, but that's something you can't say that that's okay. Not scoring anything in the second, third is just unacceptable, right? Turnovers are not. You got to find ways to get some points. But overall for the game, look, I think that we can certainly celebrate a win because we're above 500, right? And every win should be cherished regardless of the circumstances. I truly believe that. With that being said, though, like that performance definitely won't get it done against any of the opponents we have left in the schedule. So we have to stop getting in our own ways and play strong, disciplined football. Need to clean things up on everywhere. With that being said, though, I think the fight in this team, it's remarkable. We said it before, but it showed again on Saturday that this team does not quit. We've seen Carolina teams in the past that would go down like they did against Vanderbilt, but then just roll over and die and lose the game. That's not the case with this team, y'all. I think everyone on that sideline, they knew that we should have been winning throughout the game, and then they saw the opportunity to win it at the end, and they took it. And that's something we can be proud about. And hey, look, we got four wins, right? That's more than Vegas thought we had in the preseason. They had us listed at 3.5, I think. So from my perspective, that's a success, but we got to find two more wins. We got 5 games left. Can you find two wins to go bowling? I think they're there, but it's going to be tough. So buckle up, y'all, because it could get wild. Speaking of wild, 6-pack of picks, 5-1. Ring the gong, ring the bell, get an air horn. Your boy, 5-1. Ah, what a change. What a change. Great day for the Gamecocks. Great day for the Cox betting enterprise. Ugh, electric. Quick review. ACC, Duke and Virginia, under 70. I think the Dukies got shut out, so easy one. Big Ten, Army at Wisco. I had people in my ear saying that that was a terrible pick. Guess what? It hit. I read that one so clearly. Wisco stinks this year. Big 12, TCU at Oklahoma. That was a win. I actually was able to watch most of that game. That was a wild one. That guy, Caleb Williams, he could be for real. I mean, I think Herb Street was on the call. He was saying that there's not really anybody in the Heisman race that is head and shoulders above the rest to this point. Caleb Williams, last week at Texas, this week at TCU, electric. If he plays like that for the rest of the way, could you have a kid who plays half the season win the Heisman? You honestly might see it at Oklahoma. Something to keep an eye on. The Pac-12, Stanford at Wazoo. I had Wazoo +1.5. That was a win. They won outright. SEC, Bama -17 at Mississippi State. That was a win. I said it on Friday. I felt bad for those Bulldogs because Nick Saban was not going to allow any doubt after that game, and they certainly was the case. And then my group of five, the Troy Trojans, I tried to give them a bone. You know, they played us decent. I thought they were going to handle business against Texas State. They won, but they didn't cover the 7.5. So that was the one loss. But, 5-1. Going to try to ride that momentum. Looking ahead to next week, South Carolina, we have opened as a 19.5-point underdog. Depends on where you look. But 19.5 points as we travel to Texas A&M to take on the Aggies next Saturday night. Outside of that, it really will be interesting to see how and if this quarterback situation unfolds. Make sure to follow me on social media. I will share anything that I see. Twitter, it is Cox Gamecocks. So my last name, Gamecocks. And on Instagram, it's just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. Please like and subscribe to the pod. I will catch y'all on Friday. Let's continue to celebrate. Keep the good times rolling. Go Cox.